1 Corinthians 1 and 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. Amen. Philippians 1 and verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And then the third verse is 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Aren't there some wonderful verses? God is faithful. God is faithful. Whenever we look at the theme of these verses and the faithfulness of God, it encourages me to know that God is involved in what's happening in your life and my life. And even in the theme of these testimonies here tonight, it's a reminder to us of the fact that it's an awesome thing to consider that God cares enough about us, little old us, in our needs to work and to show himself great for us. Amen. God is faithful. And he that has called you, you see, he's faithful in several ways. When we think about the plan of God, it's a grand and a glorious plan that's really more than we can even conceive of. We can't even fully understand the plan of God. That's one of the wonderful things about heaven and about eternity, is that we're no longer going to be restricted by our fleshly, natural abilities to understand things. When we get to heaven, and those of our friends and loved ones that are already into heaven, their eyes are opened and the scales are removed, the limitations of the flesh is removed, and now they're in this glorious, wonderful, that is also the final stage of the plan of God for us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful that the plan of God really just basically it involves a lot of things, but I'm just going to talk about three things here. First of all, it includes men coming to the Lord and getting saved. Man's redemption is the first part of God's wonderful plan. The second part of his plan is our life being an abundant life, that he saved us, but he saved us so that our life would be full, blessed. We would have the provision of God. We'd see the hand of God in our life. He would direct us, and we'd fully understand that God is working every day in our life. So his plan of the ages includes our redemption, the day we got saved. It includes an abundant life. And then third, it includes our eternal existence in his presence in heaven. And so we all look with anticipation to that day. Every Christian, we look to the hope of heaven and, you know, with being with the Lord for all of eternity and all that involves, which we can't even comprehend. The Bible says that our minds can't conceive of what it's going to be like. The glorious, wonderful existence, eternal existence with the Lord. But I find it so encouraging to know that God is faithful in every phase. He is faithful. He that has called you is faithful to continue it. He is faithful who will also do it. Faithful is he that has called you who also will complete it. He that has begun a good work in you, he's going to continue it all the way through the days of your life. And then when you step into eternity, then the glorious plan of God of the ages is going to be revealed in ways that you can't even comprehend. Amen. How wonderful is that? But I wanted to encourage you here tonight with this theme of God's faithfulness, that he is faithful and he started this work in your life whenever you put your faith in him and you were redeemed and saved and born again. That was the plan of God. The plan for men to be saved. Amen. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Amen. I believe that God, it is the will of God that all men be saved. Now, you know, I know that all men aren't being saved, but the plan of God was that men's hearts would be turned toward Him. I understand people reject God, they reject the gospel, and they die without God. And I know we all understand that, but in the mind of God, the plan of God is that men could come to the knowledge of salvation. Amen. That they would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord. Faithful is He who has called you. He started this work in you, and He will complete it. He'll continue it in you as well. That's this wonderful plan of God. When you look at all of the trouble and the adversity and all the challenges that are around us today, your mind can get so, you can get to the place that it's very difficult to believe God, to even put your confidence in what the Lord can do. And so it's important that we be reminded, then we go back to the Word continuously in the Word. Because when we're in the Word, then it reminds us of the fact that as long as we're not in the Word, then we are going to be thinking like a carnal person. The Word is what transforms your thinking. It causes you to think differently. You are transformed, and you think your mind is different, and you think, and you can believe His Word, and you can act upon His Word, and you can see it begin to be revealed in your life. I don't know about you, but it's an amazing thing to me that God is concerned enough about you and me that He would arrange the plan so that we would have an encounter one day with the gospel. Oh, how wonderful that is. How wonderful it is that we've had an encounter. Some of you, like me, were raised up in church, but that doesn't mean that you were saved. You had to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. I was raised up in church, but I was a teenager before I finally had this convicting work of the Spirit and this drawing work of the Spirit that brought me to an altar of repentance, and my mind was changed. My heart was changed. I was saved as a young man, as a teenage boy. And so as a result of that, the more that I pursue God and the Word of God, my mind is continually being changed, and I'm being strengthened by faith to believe that God has a plan that He wants to fulfill. Just as much as Jesus came to this earth with a plan, Jesus said, "I came to do my Father's business." He already knew when he was 12 years old that he was in the world to do the business of the Father. He knew that. He knew that he was there to fulfill the plan of God. John 17 and 18, the scripture, Jesus said, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." So the plan of God for Jesus himself was, he came into the world to do the business of the Father. And his life was short, actually short, as far as the length of his days. But he died on that cross and he said, "It is finished." And he was talking about the Father's plan for him. And the whole plan of redemption was completed on the cross. It's finished. I have done what the Father has sent me to do. So in John 17, he was saying, just like I was sent into this world, so am I sending you into the world. There was this transference of the plan that Jesus had. It was transferred to the church and to every one of us to see it fulfilled in all of our lives. Even the Apostle Paul, once he was converted, once he had that glorious Damascus Road conversion, Paul was a different person, so totally changed. His mind was different. And from that time on, he was saying, "It's not my life. I don't count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." He understood Jesus had a plan, and that he also had a purpose and a plan that needed to be fulfilled in this world. Amen. The happiest people are those that understand that Jesus has saved you, and he has saved you for a mission, a purpose. Amen. And it's not just being in church. Going to church is wonderful. But it's not just to be in a service or in services. But he has saved you for a divine calling. He that's begun a work in you, he'll complete it. He'll bring it to pass. He will allow this thing to be continued in your life. And you'll understand that there's this wonderful plan of salvation. And God has allowed us to be a part of it. Amen. Personally being redeemed. And then he's allowed us to be in the whole plan, the whole puzzle of God's plan. He's allowed you and I to be a piece in his plan. We have a part to play. We fulfill a piece in the puzzle of God's work in the world in these days. Amen. Glory to God. I know we complain about the times that we're in and how dark and difficult they are, but be reminded of the fact that you were born where you were born, in the time that you were born, and you didn't have anything to do with that. God arranged it, and God, it's a part of his design and his plan, and so he's put you where you are at the time that you are, because this is a part of his plan, that you be saved, and then that the days that you live out in this world, that you are fulfilling the plan. He begun the work in you. He'll continue it. He that has begun the work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It will be performed if you'll get in step with the plan of God. Amen. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, there really has to be this transformation by the Word of God. I mentioned I've listened to lots of different sermons, and I do it all the time. Hardly a week would go by that I don't listen to some preacher, and sometimes several. And sometimes I'm bored by them. But I'm careful now. I know where to go and where to find them, and the ones that have some real depth and some real truth and something that's going to strengthen me and edify me and challenge me. And so I keep going back to places where I know I can be fed. Amen. By the way, preachers need to be fed too. Amen. Amen. To understand the plan of God is you have to have a transformation that comes when you're saved. But the Word of God renews your mind. Amen. God's Word renews your mind. That means it causes you to think like you should think as a godly person, as a spiritual person. The Word of God has that kind of an effect up on you, and it changes the way you think. And that is so important, because we are bombarded by philosophy and doctrines of the world. And if we're not careful, these little things they'll get in to our thinking. They'll start having effect upon us, and we'll make decisions based upon worldly philosophy, men's ideas, instead of the truth of God's Word. That's why it's important that you spend time with God, spend time in His Word, be fed upon the things of God and upon the Word of God, so that your mind will be renewed. Amen. Day by day, renewed, constantly renewed, so that you're thinking the things that you should be thinking. Amen. And all of our actions, our activities, our decisions, everything that we do are the result of what's going on in our thought processes. Amen. Every action was a thought first. And so it's important what your meditation is. It's important what your thoughts are, and that you are focused upon spiritual things and godly things. And when your time is spent with the Word of God, then your eyes are open to a grander plan. If you are carnally minded, then you're just going to look at selfish little things that are going on in my day-to-day life, and my little problems and my little, nitpicky little things that I'm worried about. But whenever you are into the Word and your mind is being renewed by the things of God, then you're thinking on a bigger scale. Amen. Your understanding is enlightened, and you realize I need to be in step with God and with His plan. Amen. Scripture says that we are workers together with God. We're in partnership with God, so we have to stay in step with His Word. to know His will, to know what He's wanting us to do so that we can truly partner with Him. Amen. This changing of our thought process, let me mention just a few things. First of all, it has to, the Word of God and the great power of the Word of God to renew our mind, it causes us to shift our thinking from self-centeredness to others' focus. Amen. Amen. You start considering the needs of others. You start observing that other people are in need. When you have the mind of Christ, he laid down His life for His friends. He came into this world, and there was nothing. He was the meekest man. He was the epitome of humility, and He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Him that was lost. He was always others focused, always thinking about others, always seeing the needs of others. Person has a renewed mind is a person that is going to see the needs of others, spiritual needs, physical needs, whatever that their need might be. You know, it's the nature of a child, and it's an immature to be self-focused, always thinking about yourself. That's little children. When they get up in the morning, little children, I want my breakfast, and I want this, and I want that, and that's what little kids do. It's irritating, but that's what they do. And they're immature. They're childish. A part of the growing up maturing process is getting to place, helping them to see life isn't all about what's going on in their little world. Amen? When people are all wrapped up in themselves, they are hard to be around. It is just, it's a challenge to be around someone that it's all about them and all their needs and all their problems, and they can't think about anyone else or anything else. That's childish. That's immature. That's like a little kid. We need to grow up, and part of that process is a renewed mind. Amen. A maturity in the things of God, that we start looking at others and we see other people in their need, and we are concerned and we want to intervene, we want to intercede, we want to help them, we want to encourage them, because we have there's a plan of God that's being fulfilled in our life, and that plan is we have been redeemed, and after we're redeemed, then we're to live out the days of our life still in this process of redemption. How can we be used of God to bring someone to Jesus? Amen. Not self-centered, but others focused. Another thing is that our thinking has to be, it has to change from just local thinking to global thinking. That's what Jesus said. We have to think about not just London, Kentucky, although it's important that we be concerned about our city and about our community and this area. But Jesus wants us to be focused upon the needs of the world in whatever ways that we possibly can. You say, there's no way that I could ever do that. I can't do that. I can't go on missions trips. I can't do that. You know, what's happening in our country over the last several years is all different types of nationalities are moving into almost every community in the United States. So the world is coming to us. We have to think globally instead of thinking about all these people are just invading our community and why are they all coming here and they get all the tax breaks and we don't. Instead of thinking that way, we need to be globally thinking about the fact that God has so arranged in His plan for them to be right in your pathway and for them to be able to have an encounter with Jesus through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, I can't even speak their language. You know, most international people, even if they can't speak English, they want to. They want to. And they are almost all of them, the largest percentage of people from all different nations that come to the United States, they may not be able to speak it very much at all, but they want to. And they want to try out the few little words that they have with someone like you. We think of it as this is just an impossible thing. You know, one of the things you can do, and I've encouraged you to in other times to do this, is to have a map and pray over the nations. But one of the really the most effective things you can do is if you listen to the news, pay much attention to the news, and don't get too caught up in it, or you'll get really depressed. But if you pay much attention to the headlines of what's going on around our world, then it's almost like it's an opportunity for prayer needs to be brought to you by these international news networks. Amen. And so the greatest needs all over the world, Iran, that just suffered terrible earthquakes just last week. Hundreds of people died. Don't just read it and say, that's terrible. Read it and say, oh God, somehow through this tragedy in Iran, open up the eyes of these people that have been blinded by generations in that Islam. Somehow, Lord, let this circumstance break through. Don't just think locally. Think about how God can use you, how His plan could use you, not only here, but all over the world, to pray for them. Amen. Pray for the nations. And I encourage me when I hear about people who step out to try to, you know, probably one of the most closed nations in the world is North Korea. There's just hardly any. To go into North Korea is almost an impossible thing. And one of the, if not the most dangerous place in the world. And I read about a Christian group recently who they know they can't get in there. And so they put New Testaments on helium balloons, 3,000 of them. And they waited for the weather and the wind to be just right. And they released those helium balloons. And I think it was either 3,000 or 5,000 of them that just floated over the border and just floated all over that part of North Korea. And no doubt, they had had prayer meetings before they made the launch. And you can't stop the gospel. Amen. If people are determined to think differently, think about the possibilities of what we could do. And see, the great joy comes from understanding that God puts us where we are at the time that we're in. Because you say, well, I don't know, I'm not all that interested in the nations. You might as well be. You might as well be, because the whole everything, even the clothes you're wearing right now, are probably from another nation. Most things you purchase are probably from other nations. Instead of complaining about it, just realize that we're in an international society right now, and that God has ordained it, and He is working in these last days so that we will not just be so focused with our own little world, but we'll think about the greatness of the plan of God to get the gospel into a lot of places. Amen. Another thing about our thinking is don't just be so now focused, what's going on right now, but be eternal, eternity focused. Realize that our lives are so short. They're so short. We've got just a certain number of days. We're to number our days. Why do we do that? What does the scripture say? So that we could apply our hearts to wisdom, so that we could use the days that He's given to us to fulfill the plan of God. And that is to take the gospel wherever the open door comes. Don't just think about just what's happening today and right now. Be eternally, eternity focused. Think about the needs of people and their lostness and the horribleness of dying without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more thing is instead of making excuses, ask the Lord to give you ways. Ask the Lord to give you open doors. Ask the Lord to give you creative ways where you can be used of God so that you can step through the plan of God, whatever it is that He may be wanting you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So that we think differently. We have ways, interesting ways, amazing ways. Like I mentioned, the group that sent the Bibles over into North Korea, and, And just ask the Lord, Lord, give me an open door. Give me a door of utterance. Give me an opportunity. Open the door that I might be able to minister to that person. Amen. And you know that really our prayers and our words, like Tommy's mentioning, his family, his brother that needs the Lord. If you could think of it this way, it's kind of like that you're building a fire. When the fire is eventually ignited, that's when they get saved. And every time that you pray for them or you try to encourage them toward the things of the Lord, it's like you're putting just a little bit more kindling on. And you're putting just a little small pieces of wood on it. You're working on a big fire. And one of these days, the Lord, by His Spirit, is going to ignite that. And that person, that brother, or that family member that you're concerned about, just stay at it. Keep praying. Keep working. Keep ministering to them and serving them and loving them and pouring out to that person. Amen. All the while understanding that what you're doing is just little by little, it is building and it will eventually fulfill the plan of God. Amen. Faithful is He that called you. Faithful is He that called you, who will also do it. What will He do? He'll unfold His plan. He'll unfold the plan of God for you, whatever that might be, as you stay in tune with the Lord, the same God that has saved you. Faithful is He that called you, who also will give you the ability to fulfill His plan. Amen. His purpose for you. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, for all of us, every individual here tonight. Lord, our thinking sometimes becomes so carnal, it becomes so earthly. Lord, help us, Lord, to see beyond our own little life, our own little existence, and what we think is important. Help us to see, Lord, the grand scheme of things, the great plan of God and what You want to do in us and through our lives. We know, Lord, that You have been faithful to save us, and You also will be faithful to bring all of this into reality. Praise God. Lord, I thank You that You've allowed us to be born in this age, to live in this age. I thank You, Lord, that You have given to us the circumstances of our life. All is a part of the design, the plan of God. And I thank You for that. And help us, Lord, to realize that it's all an expression of Your love for us and Your love for the world. Help us, Lord, to live out the days of our life fulfilling Your plan. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.